Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hello, celebrity gossip enthusiasts. I'm Us Weekly's entertainment director, Travis Cronin, and you have tuned in to Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood Podcast, where we break down all of the hottest celebrity gossip stories of the week so you can, you know, talk to people at cocktail parties, know what's going on, and get exclusive info that you won't hear anywhere else. Well, I am joined by only one of my co-hosts because the other is jetting off to Ibiza. That's right, Ibiza for Gwen. But luckily, we have Deputy Woman Sarah Heron here.
Yes, I am here. Just like half of me is here. The other half of me died at Paul Wesley and Ian Somerhalder's bourbon event. I, you know, became a vampire like he with Stefan and Damon, and I'm just pretty unwell for a lot of reasons.
I'm happy for you for taking one from the team and drinking bourbon with two male models / actor and not the other way around, gorgeous men.
Someone had to do it.
Yes, they did. How were they? Were they nice? They seem nice. Ian seems almost too nice.
They actually were really nice. And I've heard that Ian is not always nice to people. And like, I've seen some videos, but they had like girls like following them, like from outside the party, like teen girls who like figured out they were going to be at this like private event. And like, literally they were loving it. So I think maybe like being off the CW for a few years, they're more into the attention now because it doesn't come, you know, quite as often as it used to. And I talked to Paul. He was really nice. And everyone was a little tipsy, which is how we like it. I know I was.
Great. I used to call The Vampire Diaries VD for TV. But, you know, no shade to anyone that liked it. I like a lot of shows that are dramatic soap operas.
Yeah, rude.
Well, I know, I'm sorry. In the news today, we have a lot. We have a A-list princess podcast debut that we've been talking about that we need for years and years now. I think at least half of a decade. You know, we have photoshopping allegations, which we love. We have a hot new possible hookup. We have royals changing schools, changing their lives. And we have two exes hanging out on summer vacation, which I think is just so, so strange and can't wait to get into. But of course, before we do that, let's start with our woes of the week. And first, Gwen Flamberg is not here, but I know what her woe would be, so I'm going to give it for her.
What?
Gwen Flamberg's woe would definitely be Nicole Kidman's photo shoot for Perfect magazine. She is wearing a chopped bob, longer in the back, asymmetrical blunt cut, flexing her like gigantic biceps, which looks so good. She is ripped, showing off her physique. Go to Perfect magazine, Nicole Kidman, type that into Instagram. I've seen them all like 1,000 times because everyone I know is posting them, but they're pretty iconic and amazing. Well, thank you, Gwen, spirit from Ibiza. Sarah, you're on. What made you go woe this week?
That was like breaking my brain. I like can't keep up. Happy for you, Nicole Kidman. I love your AMC work, your commercial.
Heartbreak
feels good in a place like this. And it probably also feels good in Cancun, Mexico, where Sheena Marie Shea, now Davies, got married to Brock Davies in front of Bravo TV cameras and past and present Vanderpump Rules stars. Of course, cannot wait to see if Kristen Doty and Jax sneak their way back onto this program in the background, because I did see Kristen sneaking, like fighting for the bouquet in a video, Sheena's bouquet at the wedding. So I assume that she will, you know, make the cut. I don't know if they'll get paid, but as you know, they got fired from that show 2 years ago. Anyway, quick shout out to Sheena for the wedding and a whoa, because I did go whoa when I saw her dress. I thought she looked absolutely beautiful. And it was quite the step up from the crop top wedding dress we saw at her season 3 wedding to Mike Shay. I mean, getting married in season 3 and season 10, like, what a queen. This is like a soap opera. Sheena Marie Shay, now Davies. I'm really happy for her, even though Brock was very questionable during his first season and, you know, hasn't seen his kids in years. The dress was great and it was well worthy.
He looked a little boxy, but, you know.
Yeah. I don't know if all the all white was a good call for him, but their daughter looked cute. I was just like really shocked that I like Sheena's dress so much. It's not something I expected.
I loved it too. It was one of my favorite wedding dresses like in recent history.
Oh my God.
Not of J-Lo's. Just the cut of it I thought was so pretty.
It was. So that's a shock. But my other woe, since we're breaking the rules today, is this Olivia Wilde Variety cover story. So I don't know if you saw the actual cover story in Variety, but can we start with just the fact that they put She's So Golden as like the cover line, which is obviously a reference to Harry Styles, but then the whole story is about how like she wants to talk about the movie and like not about her personal life. And then they put a Harry Styles lyric on the cover. Like, if I were her, I'd be pissed.
I would be pissed. But we've seen so many interviews of her where she's like, I don't want my whole career to be that I'm dating Harry Styles. And then the whole interview is about Harry Styles. It's about how she doesn't want to talk about Harry Styles, how she separates her life from Harry Styles. Like, that's the whole focus.
Yeah.
Just because he's the biggest pop star of the moment. And I think that's sort of, it's unfortunate for her because she's broken out as like a huge director. She is like a real like boss woman in the industry in so many new ways, but we only care about her hot younger boyfriend.
I know. Like if when Harry Styles was on the cover of Rolling Stone, it wasn't like he's dating Marissa's ex-girlfriend from the OC on the cover. Or like,
yeah, well, she's not the biggest pop star in the world, is she?
Book smart. Like it wasn't like a reference to her on the cover. It was calling him the king of pop, which the Jackson family had a major issue with. But in addition to Harry, the other most interesting thing about Olivia, I'm just kidding, she's very talented, but her divorce with Jason Sudeikis and custody battle is quite newsworthy and surprising. As we know, we've talked about on the show, she got served custody papers on stage at CinemaCon back in April. And
shout out to CinemaCon.
Never gotten better press, never heard of it. We'll be attending next year, hopefully getting served myself. Just kidding. But we found out earlier this summer what was in those docs and the cut that they were fighting about where the kids are going to go to school. And, you know, she was not happy about it. But in this Variety cover story, she addresses them more directly. And she said, it was my workplace. In any other workplace, it would be seen as an attack. It was really upsetting. It shouldn't have been able to happen. There was a huge breach in security, which is really scary. The hurdles that you had to jump through to get to that room with several bandages plus COVID tests that had to be taken in advance, which gave you wristbands that were necessary to gain access to the event. This was something that required forethought, which is actually very interesting because, as we know, Jason Sudeikis has kind of denied that he did it on purpose and just didn't want it to happen at Harry's house or in front of the kids at school. So that's why I guess they thought CinemaCon was the perfect middle ground. She continued, I hated that this nastiness distracted from the work of so many people in the studio that I was up there representing. To try and sabotage that is really vicious, but I had a job to do. I'm not easily distracted, but you know, sadly, it was not something that was entirely surprising to me. I mean, there's a reason I left that relationship. Shade. And the last part, she calls Otis and Daisy, her kids, with Jason, her best friends, and says the only people who suffered were my kids because they'll have to see that and they shouldn't ever have to see that. For me, it was appalling, but the victims were an 8 and 5 year old. And that's really sad. I chose to become an actress. I willingly walked into the spotlight, but it's not something that my children have asked for. And when my kids are dragged into it, it's deeply painful. The shade at Ted Lasso.
And don't you feel like that one line, like, there are, this is the reason I got divorced from him, just makes you think so many more horrible things. And like little quips of his that seemed nice were actually like super demeaning and like horrible. It's like completely changed my image of him just with that one line.
There's a reason I left that relationship is her saying everything she needed to say with actually saying nothing at all. It's pretty good. That required some forethought, to quote her back at herself.
I hope the next cover story is about how we can't talk about the successful woman without talking about the men in her life. But the drama is just so good. I'm so sorry to not be able just to like respect her director talents, because this, I mean, the personal life drama is just on fire here.
And like, listen, I promised to go see Don't Worry, Darling. And like, am I going to support Olivia Wilde? Or am I going to see Harry Styles naked? I mean, that's still doesn't matter. A ticket's a ticket.
We know why you're going to see it.
Yeah. Anyway, what's your woe? Since I just had like five.
Well, those are your five woes. My woe is very woe and a little this week. It's about Gary Busey. And he was at ThrillerCon, which is like sort of like CinemaCon, but for scary movies, I guess. Wow. I don't even know what scary movie Gary Busey was in, but it doesn't matter about the story. He's 78 year old, and he was doing some photo ops at those conventions. You know, you meet them, you get like a 15 second like interaction, you sign a picture, whatever. Two women accused him of sexual assault and then said that he groped them. He was inappropriate with them. Another woman said he pulled down his pants. This was also after he was on Celebrity Big Brother, and a lot of the contestants said that he was pantsless a lot and it was really inappropriate, but they were sort of chalking it up to this older guy just, you know, been living free by himself or whatever. And then yesterday, video came out of him on a park public bench with his pants around his ankles again. So this hellstorm of Gary Busey pulling down his pants in public and sexually assaulting women made me go whoa and ugh.
Like inappropriately touched these women at the con.
At the con during like the 10-15 second interaction, he just really got in there.
Oh my god, so I just googled it and it says Gary Busey's rep said that a actor quote, perhaps just needed the bathroom after the actor was caught by paparazzi with his pants down.
Really my woe is that his rep said that he probably just had to use the bathroom and couldn't get back to his house is across the street. And I think that the rep is, I mean, who are we to say who's lying, but it's definitely lying that he, you know, just had to use the bathroom right there on that public park bench.
I mean, that's horrible. And obviously worth noting that he of course denies this misconduct charges.
Yes, he he does, but he's had his pants down around his ankles way too many times in the last 2 years to make that really seem as credible as I think he wants it to be.
Damn.
It really, really is. Well, let us bust into some of the news. Let me pull our Gary Busey pants up and get into some of this news. Well, Meghan Markle, after I think 18 years of us waiting, has finally released another podcast episode on Spotify. This sort of, maybe it's a new podcast because it's not with Prince Harry like the first one was. And this one's called Archetypes. So just shift from that. We're just doing her own archetypes. She had Serena Williams on, her, of course, close friend at her wedding, yada yada, they love each other. It was about archetypes, and it was about people, her disliking the word ambition after she got with Harry because people thought her ambition was, you know, bad, and lots of racism and sexism. Loved all of that. It was really great.
I didn't tune into that part because I fall for clickbait, and I watched the part about the fire.
Let's talk about the clickbait, because she opened up about a terrifying experience she had during her royal tour of Africa. She sat down, of course, with Serena, and, you know, she said, quote, "We went on our tour of South Africa and we landed with Archie. Archie was what, 4.5 months old? And the moment we landed, we had to drop him off at this housing unit they had us staying in. He was going on for a nap and we immediately went to this engagement. And there was this moment I'm standing on a tree stump and giving this speech to women and girls. And we finished the engagement, we get in the car and they say there's been a fire at the residence. What? There's been a fire in my baby's room. What? Megan said they raced back to the residence and their, quote, amazing nanny, Lauren, was in a flood of tears. Megan continued, she was supposed to put Archie down for his nap. And she said, you know what? I'm just going to go get a snack downstairs. Thank God for her snacking cravings. And she was from Zimbabwe, and she loved that we loved that she would always tie him on her back with a mud cloth. And she was like, let me bring him with me before I put him down. And then the nursery caught on fire. There was no smoke detector. Someone just happened to be smelling the smoke down the hallway, went in, and the fire was extinguished. Megan added, he was supposed to be sleeping in there. Megan said everyone was in tears and shaken by the incident. And it was just really really sad. So, and then she said she went out afterwards and continued her royal duties and went to another engagement. Serena Williams said that she would not have done that. She would have canceled all of her upcoming engagements. But like, wow. I mean, crap. That's
was the point of telling this story to just be like, well, that's the thing I didn't get, like, well, how this came up. And like, was the point of telling the story just to be like, on royal life and how you have to just like suck it up and ignore? Or was it like, what was the point? Like, why did Meghan bring this up?
Well, the context didn't seem like leading into it. She was just talking about Archie and there was a fire 3 years ago. I don't know why she brought it up, but I didn't mind that it didn't have anything to do with the story. It's sort of like when a celebrity goes on like late night and they have that like prearranged funny story that they tell Jimmy Fallon or whatever.
So funny this that Archie almost caught on fire.
Yeah, well, this one little like the clickbaity thing that's going to get people interested to the podcast. I mean, terrifying. But yeah, I now that I'm looking at it and I listened to it, it didn't really seem to have anything to do with it. And she's like, let me just bring up this story from 3 years ago because it is so dramatic.
This podcast is going to be really interesting to see like the direction she takes it because of things like this. And if it's consistent again, like we got one episode with like 2 years ago for like a hot second and now we have another episode. So unclear like what her actual plan is. But if she's consistently doing this, I'd be really curious to see like the direction she goes in. Like, is this going to get political? Is it going to be like all her famous friends? Is she going to like make shady digs like Olivia Wilde style, like with one line that says it all? Is she going to talk about, you know, the fact that her sister is trying to sue her for lying about their childhood and wrote a book called Diary of a Pushy Sister Part 1 and 2? Like, I want to know what. So I'm intrigued by this podcast and like, good for Meghan.
I'm sure
they got a lot of money from Spotify.
I know they did, and they're finally paying them back with content.
I know.
Well, if you don't want to listen, listen to this podcast because we'll bring you the highlights.
Bring back the TIG.
Bring back the TIG. I want to know how to make my maple oatmeal the least, you know, the best viscosity I can get it, Meghan, and what to, serve.
I think Meghan's next topic should be the celebrities that are in trouble for watering their lawns during the drought in California.
Oh, she should definitely.
She's probably on the list, but I'd like to hear her take.
She's outside of LA, so maybe she got off of it there in Montecito.
It's like her, Kim K, Courtney, they're on the list. Wade.
The Rock.
The Rock. Yeah. It's a good read.
It is a good read. So we're going to talk about Emily Ratajkowski, Emrata, if you're nasty, and Brad Pitt. Dumois says that they have been seen at two restaurants.
What?
One in Paris. There was a tip given to Dumois says my friend is a sous chef at one of the hottest restaurants in Paris, and he saw this newly divorced supermodel with Brad Pitt. They were on a date together. It was clearly Emily Ratajkowski. So someone wrote in, is it Emily Rata? And then Dumois said that they were seen holding hands together in New York about the time that Bullet Train was having its premiere here. So, you know, Dumois doesn't do what we do and reach out to publicists and managers to make sure the story is true. So we cannot confirm these, but it is a very interesting coupling because, of course, Emily Rata just going through a divorce with Sebastian McLeod, who is just dogging her, cheating on her, as Us Weekly can confirm. And maybe now with Brad Pitt. I mean, it's not groundbreaking that Brad Pitt is with a model in her early 30s. But it's still, I'm happy for them, I guess.
Yeah, if this is real, I mean, like, good for Emrata, because the only way to get, like, revenge on your cheating ex who, like, how dare he think he can cheat on her, like, he married up, is to, you know, go out with Brad Pitt. Or have rumors started that you went out with Brad Pitt. That's almost just as effective. So either way, she's winning here. I can't imagine these two pretty people would be able to go too long without being photographed together. So if it is indeed love, we will know sooner rather than later.
Well, let's jump across the pond from New Jersey to outside of London, shall we? Where Kate Middleton also used 10,000 bobby pins in her. I'm just kidding. She did not. But the
imagine Kate Middleton William. With that Teresa Giudice hair.
Yes, I can.
I'm thinking about it right now.
Please go for Halloween as Kate Middleton with Teresa Giudice's wedding hair.
Oh my God, done. I got to find the stylist and start collecting bobby pins.
Yeah. You should just, I don't know if there are any left here on this East Coast, especially in New Jersey.
Yeah, well, where I live.
Yeah, they're gone. Well, William and Kate, the palace gave us a statement saying that Prince George, Prince Charlotte, and Prince Louis, not Teresa Giudice's husband Louis, will attend Lambrook School in Berkshire from September 22. They will start there. And then the statement said, their royal highnesses are hugely grateful to Thomas Baterza, where George and Louis had a happy start to education in 2017, yada, 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 and shares similar values and ethos to Thomas's. The new one, the headmaster, gave us a statement and said, we're delighted that Prince George, Prince Charlotte, and Prince Louis will be joining us coming September and look forward to welcoming the family. And to all of us, a royal source told us that this decision was to get the family to have a normal life as possible. And the school sort of goes hand in hand with that. It's not out of bushy London. I'm sure there's still lots of fancy people in there. But, you know, happy for them. Glad they're getting out of school with their new home.
What I wouldn't give to have been in school with royalty and, you know, trying to see if George was going to get detention or all the drama. And now that they're all going to be at the same school, that's fun. Like, Charlotte can come home and be like, Mom, like, George didn't do his homework. Like, he failed his binder check. Like, it's all over the cafeteria. Like, is that what you think they tell their parents? Like, that's what I imagine.
That's what I imagine. And now I can only imagine Kate Middleton with Teresa Giudice's wedding hair and
yelling at George for failing his binder check.
Yes.
Those in school, do they have binders or they have tablets?
They probably have tablets. It's probably a tablet check, a digital check. And let's close this out with our last story. NeNe Leakes has dropped this lawsuit against Bravo. Good, because I was honestly, this lawsuit really rubbed me the wrong way. Me and it's sort of, right? It just made me feel bad and like I was missing something. Well, so she filed this lawsuit back in April against Bravo, NBC Universal, Andy Cohen, and a lot of other people, actually a lot of named in the suit. And NeNe Leakes accused the defendants, including the production companies, of violating federal employment and anti-discrimination laws. Now, we got a hold of the documents, and now NeNe Leakes dismisses the action and claims, and all claims asserted by NeNe Leakes without prejudice, which means it's done, everything's fine, no party will seek recovery of costs for attorney fees and thing. It is done. Nobody's giving any monies to anybody. Now, this was originally filed because NeNe Leakes said she, quote, she claimed that her former co-star, Kim Zolciak-Bierman, made racist comments for years, but claimed it was NeNe Leakes who was punished for allegedly informing the network and executives about the manner. She says that Kim got all of these shows and spinoffs, and then NeNe's contract was eventually terminated from The Real Housewives of Atlanta because of her, you know, relationship with Kim that she says was sparred by these racist attacks. Now, I feel so much better that this is dropped. I hope NeNe is happy with the outcome because there's pretty serious allegations and just nothing that we'd seen or heard about, you know, from in front of, well, watching at home.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't want to discount NeNe's experience. I don't know. Obviously, none of us know what she went through, like what happened, but she's an iconic housewife. Her time on Atlanta was epic.
So
and I
good.
Always, it's always sad when like something tarnishes that. And like, I feel like Andy Cohen kind of said something similar. Like, we love NeNe. Like, we were so happy to have her as long as we did. Like, this and this. And like, housewives that leave their hit show and come back, like, it doesn't always work. And that to me was what, I mean, as a viewer, NeNe's second round was like, there was highlights, but like, it didn't feel the same. It wasn't the same. And like, her chemistry with women was off. Like, you wanted to go be on Ryan Murphy shows. And like, that was a choice you made. I'm sorry. It was not the right one. You should have never left us at Bravo. But you know what? I think this is for the best too. And I hope that her and Andy can make amends specifically, because I feel like he, you know,
Loved her. And, you know, she really, it seems like she sort of stayed as a Bravo celebrity and not to become more of a mainstream celebrity. And there was that year where she was on Glee and maybe an American Horror Story or another Ryan Murphy production. But it seemed like she was sort of rising, but then it was like, no, actually, that's it. Ryan Murphy is the only one who wants to work with you. She was supposed to get some Tyler Perry stuff, but I don't think that ever worked. And she just soured on the network and in total, and we miss old NeNe.
Yeah. Close your legs to married men.
Close your legs to married men, Wig. That is exactly right, Sarah. Well, that is all the time we have. With thank you for leaving us with that great piece of advice, Sarah Huron, deputy woman, formerly baby girl. Thank you. And thank you to the ghost of Gwen for sharing your woe with us. And I hope you have fun in Ibiza. And we can't wait to see your bikini pics. And we will, you know, report on them as news. We won't say your real age, but you look great. Well, we spilled all of this piping hot celebrity. Again, this is Travis Cronin, Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood Podcast, with your weekly peek into the glamour, glitter, fashion, fame of your favorite celebrities. Because you know why, Sarah? They aren't, like, unattainable. They're totally just like us.
Hungover.
Yes, they can be hungover, too. Thank you for battling through that, Sarah. And we'll be back next week with a new episode. We'll see you then.
Bye.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.